Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. I'll discuss, as Simone said, resummation, but in a different context, resummation for jet shapes or measurements we make on jets. And resummation is vital in this case, and not just for reducing scale uncertainties, but vital for describing the emergent phenomena of QCD.
Maybe one of
Sorry? Okay. Is that better? Okay. I don't know what happened. But resummation is vital for describing the interior of jets and the emergent phenomena of QCD in the deep infrared limits, which are necessary for understanding jet substructure. So Jesse provided excellent motivation for the field of jet substructure and studying jets both for new physics searches and understanding the standard model. And here I just want to motivate the program of precision jet physics for with a few different reasons here. So first, both Atlas and CMS are making an ever-increasing ever-increasing set of measurements on jets. For example, here is a plot of the soft drop groom jet mass from a CMS study from a couple years ago. I'll describe what soft drop means in this talk. And so it behooves us as theorists to understand what the experimentalists are actually measuring and give them recommendations for better things to measure and potentially how to reduce systematic uncertainties. Resum distributions, like for jet observables, probe an orthogonal and complementary regime of QCD to fixed-order calculations. Fixed-order calculations, or fixed-order observables, sorry, observables that are dominated by fixed-order calculations, like PT spectra of the Z boson and high PT, for example, which are really dominated by hard emissions. Observables like the jet mass, like is plotted here. The bulk of the distribution under the Surikov peak really comes from emissions that are soft or collinear. With high precision calculations for jet physics, you could potentially make precision standard model measurements like alpha S extraction. These observables on jets are sensitive to resummation or vitally sensitive to resummation. And so, again, this is an orthogonal way to extract alpha S. And this program of extracting alpha S from resummation-sensitive observables was used at LEP for thrust or C parameter, for example. And you could argue there, and some people have argued very strongly, that it's not necessarily very justified because there's not a clear separation between the fixed-order regime, the resummed regime, and the non-perturbative regime. But at the LHC, where you have a huge phase space, you can go to extreme regions of phase space, have sufficient statistics in data, and have a clear separation between fixed order resummation and non-perturbative corrections. And I'll show examples of that at the end of this talk. Finally, Jesse hinted at this yesterday, but perhaps the most important question in jet substructure is the definition and discrimination of quark and gluon jets robustly. And actually, these jet grooming techniques, like soft drop that I'll discuss, actually give us infrared and collinear safe definitions of quark flavor and gluon flavor jets that we can understand even in fixed order calculations. And this can be important for anything. For new physics searches, new physics we typically think of as quark-like, and background is gluon-like. But it could also be important for PDFs, for example. If we know the flavor of the final state jets, that can tell us something about the initial state partons. Okay, so I want to organize my talk around one observable, and we'll attempt to calculate this observable to the highest accuracy possible. And that observable is the mass of a jet in PP to Z plus jet events. And the name of the game of jet substructure is the only thing I care about is this carved out region of phase space that is my jet. I am inclusive over everything else in the event. I am ignorant over everything else in the event. I only want to measure the mass of that jet in PP to Z plus jet events. Now, there are numerous problems of this if you just attempt to do this naively. And there are both theoretical and experimental problems, and we've heard a bit about at least the experimental end of that. And that is that something like the jet mass, especially for small jet mass, where it's dominated by soft or collinear radiation, any contamination from the hard proton collision can lead to order one changes in that jet mass and destroy any precision you hope to have in its prediction. So while our rosy picture of a jet is dominated by perturbative radiation, which we understand, you know, from the matrix element level, very straightforward, there can be contamination from spectator parton collisions, as Ira discussed yesterday with underlying event, or Christian this morning. There can be secondary proton collisions per bunch crossing from pileup. Pileup, unlike underlying event, is truly uncorrelated with the hard scattering. Now the suppression or removal of pileup is basically a solved problem, but 5 years ago it wasn't. And so we need robust methods to control or to mitigate these sources of contamination, so we really only have a jet with well-understood perturbative radiation that dominates the mass. Additionally, there are purely theoretical challenges in making predictions for observables like the jet mass that only care about radiation in a restricted region of phase space. And the thorniest of these problems, it goes by the name of non-global logarithms, which were identified by Dasgupta and Salam about 15 years ago. And the problem with non-global logarithms, or what non-global logarithms are, is that we may think that all of the radiation that lands in the jet came from inside the jet, but that's not necessarily true. I could have had a perturbative emission outside the jet that re-radiates back inside the jet. In the small mass limit, where the mass of the jet is dominated by soft or collinear radiation, this re-radiation of out-of-jet emissions leads to correlations between in and out-of-jet infrared scales, and those generically show up in cross-sections as logarithms of ratios of those infrared scales. And depending on what the particular in-jet and out-of-jet scales are, those logarithms can be arbitrarily large and break down the convergence of your perturbation theory. And so you have to understand them systematically and resum them. But this is an exceptionally challenging problem and has, it's an exceptionally challenging problem and has not been solved in full generality. And there has been significant effort in the past few years to understand these non-global logarithms and attempt to organize their systematic expansion. Matt talked last week about understanding these at high fixed order, and Matthias talked last week about their approach to resummation. To make the calculation as easy as possible, we would just want to remove completely these non-global contributions. Okay, so now this is what a jet looks like. We understand perturbative radiations from inside the jet. We don't understand underlying event. We need to remove pileup. It's uncorrelated. And we don't want to attempt to resum non-global logarithms. So we need to remove all of these sources of contamination to get a precision prediction for the jet mass. Now, a feature of all of these sources of contamination, underlying event, pileup, and what initiates non-global logarithms, is that the radiation is relatively soft, relatively low energy, and exists at relatively wide angles in the jet, because it's all of this radiation is only weakly correlated with the direction of the jet. And so we can remove all of these problems, the experimental contamination and theoretical challenges with non-global logarithms, by grooming the jet. That is, systematically identifying emissions in the jet that we think come from contamination or from something we can't understand perturbatively. And over the past 8 or 9 years, there's been a huge effort, both from the experimental community and the theoretical community, to develop techniques to groom these jets, to systematically remove soft crap in a well-defined way. And I'll discuss a couple of these in a little detail. Okay, so now we have a procedure to control these sources of contamination and non-global logarithms in the jet. Now let's see what calculations we can do. this was really initiated by Simone Marzani and collaborators about 3 years ago, in which they took the ever-increasing list of jet grooming techniques. At that time, things like pruning, trimming, and filtering were in vogue, and said all of these things were only understood at the Monte Carlo level, and the authors made grand claims, not to throw some of those authors under the bus, but those authors made grand claims as to the applicability and power of these techniques. And Simone and collaborators said, well, we can just calculate distributions of groomed mass, for example, when these techniques are applied and see if anything makes sense from first principles in QCD. And Jesse showed this plot yesterday, but I'll just emphasize it or discuss it in a, from a different point of view. Here is a plot from their paper in which they compare the trimmed jet mass from Pythia and their analytic calculation effectively to next the leading logarithmic accuracy. And by eye, you see excellent agreement between Pythia and their analytic calculation. But from doing the calculation, you learn that trimming is a really stupid thing to do to a jet. No offense, Jesse. Because it has really non-trivial structure. There's a Surikov peak, there are two kinks, there's a flat region. And so depending on where the Surikov peak is or where these kinks are, you can't use a sideband analysis to estimate your backgrounds. But once you have a framework for understanding and calculating these distributions, then you know what you should do to your observables and your techniques to do something better. And that's exactly what they did in that paper. So beyond studying what people had already introduced, like trimming and pruning, for example, they also defined a new jet grooming technique, which they called modified mass drop tagging, which is a bit of an archaic name. I'll just refer to it as MMDT, and then change the name on the next slide. But what the virtue of this MMDT is that, again, they find excellent agreement between Monte Carlo and their analytics, but that there's only one kink in this distribution, and the rest of the distribution is basically a straight line on this logarithmic plot. So sideband analysis is very simple. This MMDT jet groomer also removes contamination, but most importantly, unlike every other jet groomer that they studied, it actually completely removes non-global logarithms to the jet mass distribution at this accuracy, at next to leading logarithmic accuracy, which they just checked by explicit calculations. So the moral of this story is that explicit calculations suggest better techniques. And you know, you actually learn what you should do so that the calculation is easier. Shortly after Simone and collaborators' paper, again, Simone and other collaborators, including myself and Jesse, generalized this MMDT groomer to what's called soft drop. To give you a definition of what soft drop is, you rearrange the emissions in the jet according to their angular ordering, that is, according to a Cambridge-Aachen clustering tree, and you step through that clustering history and ask at each step of the branching, or each step of the clustering, if both branches are sufficiently hard, that is, I and J are those branches. Sufficiently hard is defined by some parameter Z cut and soft drop, with respect to the angular separation Rij between those two branches weighted to some angular exponent beta. And beta equals zero case is just this MMDT groomer, so that for the rest of the talk I'll just call this soft drop. Again, like Simone and friends did first, we compared Monte Carlo to analytics, and again by eye everything looks nice. But the real virtue of soft drop is, like MMDT, is that it also eliminates non-global logarithms, which we checked by explicit calculation at next leading logarithmic accuracy. So so now we have a technique, which is to groom the jet with soft drop or modified mass drop tagger, which then completely removes problems from contamination and non-global logarithms, and we can see how high in accuracy we can go. So I'll discuss in the rest of this talk how to get to next the leading log resummation in the groomed jet mass, which is the absolute frontier for any jet substructure calculation. So again, the procedure is to start in PP to Z plus jet events, measure the soft dropped groomed jet mass on that jet in those events. And again, as discussed in earlier talks, resummation is needed when you go to an extreme phase-based region where radiation in the jet or in the event is constrained somehow. And the relevant phase-based region that we will go to where radiation is constrained is in this parametric ordering of the different scales of the mass and the soft drop parameter z cut. So we'll go to the regime where the mass is parametrically smaller than this parameter z cut in soft drop, which sets the definition of what you mean by soft, which is itself is parametrically smaller than the transverse momentum of the jet. And going to this regime has the beauty that all emissions that remain in the jet that are not removed by a soft drop are collinear. And you can see that quite simply. So there are only two relevant scales in the jet, this soft drop parameter z cut and the mass. And so any emission in the jet can only be sensitive to one of those two scales, or any relevant emission in the jet can only be sensitive to one of those two scales. If an emission in the jet that's near the jet boundary at an order one angle with respect to the jet axis has an energy fraction that's of order z cut, then that sets the mass to be of order z cut, but that violates our assumption of this hierarchy. If instead the energy fraction of the emission is set by the jet mass, well, by this hierarchy, such an emission would never pass soft drop and is groomed away. So all emissions must be collinear, which is also why there are no non-global logarithms that contribute to this groomed jet mass. Those are all suppressed by the small angular scale of the jet after grooming. Okay, so using this property that all emissions in the jet in this extreme phase-based region are collinear, we can use the universality of the collinear limits of high PT jets to essentially immediately write down a factorized form for the cross-section of this groomed jet mass distribution up to caveats that I already discussed, which I will not discuss in this talk. So the form of this cross-section in this extreme phase-based region takes the following form. There's an overall prefactor, which we call D, which is sensitive to the transverse momentum of the jet, the soft drop parameter z cut, the radius of the jet, out of jet radiation, PDFs, etc. But importantly, it has no dependence on the jet mass. The jet mass only arises in the two factorized functions of a jet function, which describes hard collinear radiation at the center of the jet, and what we call a collinear soft function, which describes still collinear radiation, but relatively soft radiation around the hard core. Because the jet mass only exists in these two functions, and these two functions are very well defined, we're able to actually resum the large logarithms of the jet mass to next to leading logarithmic accuracy. I should emphasize a few other things about this formula. There's an explicit sum over jet flavor. We need to consider jets that are both quark and gluon type. A virtue of the soft drop grooming procedure is that the definition of a quark jet or a gluon jet is actually totally well-defined and infrared and collinear safe because we've removed all of the soft wet angle radiation that could potentially spoil the infrared safety of the jet flavor. So calculating this prefactor for different flavors of jets, we can do it fixed order. It's totally straightforward. So we just calculate this in fixed order. We can calculate this collinear soft function and jet function. Well, actually, we can even take them from the literature. Because they are collinear objects, they're the identical functions that you'd find in a calculation of jets in E plus E minus collisions. So we're really exploiting the universality of this collinear limit. Okay, so this resummation can be done to next to leading logarithmic accuracy. Additionally, this phase-based regime, where we've demanded this hierarchy between the mass, the z-cut parameter, and the the JetBT. That's of course not the full distribution of the groom jet mass. And to describe the regime where this hierarchy is violated, we need to match to fixed order. And we do that matching using MCFM. And I think it's safe to say that we are using MCFM in a region where it's was never designed to be used, so we were really pushing it as hard as we could. So we want to match our next-to-next leading logarithmic re-summation to order alpha, relative order alpha s squared, which is effectively next-to-next leading order for pp to z plus jet events. Of course, we don't have currently a version of MCFM that is next-to-next leading order accurate. I guess we'll have to wait for Walter's talk on Friday. But if we demand that the jet mass is non-zero, then that is equivalent to just studying z plus two jets at next to leading order relevant for this mass distribution. And this is z plus two jets at next to leading order is in MCFM. So we can take that. Because the jet mass is sensitive to the infrared region of phase space, calculating the fixed order distribution was an extremely computationally challenging and took centuries of CPU time, centuries of CPU time even after identifying that our calculation at intermediate stages wasn't quite IRC safe, but we fixed that. Okay. So just to flash up a plot, so these are distributions of the soft drop groom jet mass for the jet in PP to Z plus jet events with PT greater than 500 GeV. Some jet radius of R0.8 at next to the next leading log matched to alpha, or relative order alpha s squared. This is for MMDT jet grooming or soft drop with beta equals zero. This is a soft drop with beta equals one to show some different results. Our analytic prediction is in green, and it's not quite coming out, but you can kind of see a green band around the solid green line, which is our estimate of scale uncertainties. And then we've also compared to Pythia 8 Monte Carlo in red and blue. Red is just Pythia 8 at parton level, and blue is Pythia 8 at hadron level. And you note that down to about 10 to the minus 3, Pythia 8 hadron and parton level distributions are identical, which tells you that you have, well, which is a demonstration that you have perturbative control over that entire regime, and then they deviate with Pythia giving some weird peak at small values. But we think we can understand that as a consequence of hadronization and model with some shape function, which is quite standard. Okay, so again, as I said in the introduction, just to reemphasize, there are three distinct regimes of this observable. There's a fixed order regime when the mass is large. There's our resummed regime, which extends over a couple decades. And then there's the non-perturbative regime. And they're all widely separated, unlike the case for observables at LEP, which just didn't have the same energy distribution. Okay, so to summarize, precision calculations of jet observables require jet grooming, not only for removing contamination from the messy PP collision event, but also for removing challenging theoretical objects like non-global logarithms. Of all of the jet groomers that have been introduced, only soft drop or MMDT groomer removes non-global logarithms to all orders in perturbation theory, and so it makes the problem much, much simpler. And this is a consequence of the fact that in this extreme phase-based regime where resummation is relevant, all radiation in the jet is collinear. And using the universality of the collinear limits of QCD, we're able to resum to next to leading logarithmic accuracy. So just to, in the last few minutes, discuss a few things we learned and where this can go in the future. As I mentioned, using this particular grooming technique, we can define an infrared and collinear safe quark or gluon jet flavor. Of course, that's not necessarily directly relevant for quark and gluon jet discrimination because there's hadron heterogenization, but at the fixed order or parton level, quark and gluon jets can be made totally well defined. This can have many consequences, as I mentioned, maybe inputs to PDFs. Something that Jesse mentioned yesterday is that quark jets, because all Monte Carlos are tuned to LEP data, and LEP produce a lot of quark jets, look identical in any Monte Carlo you use, but gluon jets, because there's really nothing that the Monte Carlos have been tuned to that constrains gluon jet radiation, are modeled incredibly differently. So if we have a robust definition of what a quark or gluon jet is, that could potentially help tune Monte Carlos, especially the gluon jet distributions. Additionally, with precision calculations, we can rethink about what we mean by tuning Monte Carlos. So usually we think of tuning Monte Carlos to data, which is obviously important. We want to describe nature, as Fabio said. But Monte Carlos are challenging to understand theoretically to what accuracy the parton shower is modeled. So maybe we can also think backward and tune Monte Carlos to theoretical predictions that are accurate to a systematic accuracy. And this is kind of along the lines of Geneva that Christian discussed. With a precision jet calculation, that then gives motivation for experimentalists to do these measurements, and maybe even motivation for Atlas and CMS to make identical jet measurements. It's almost been done, but maybe eventually they'll agree on something. I flashed this at the beginning, but this soft drop mass distribution as measured in CMS had no systematics. Those uncertainties were only statistical. And to make precision comparisons to data, as the fixed order community well knows, you need systematics that are percentage level, 5%, 10% even. To accomplish that for jet substructure may be significantly challenging. Finally, some feedback to the fixed order community. So admittedly, we used MCFM in a region that it was never designed to be used. But as we push theory predictions for jet substructure further and further, we need powerful fixed order predictions, and that requires efficient sampling of the infrared regions of phase space, unlike standard, say, PT spectra, where you're much more inclusive over the infrared region of phase space. And so I'm very interested to see what progress can be made in that direction. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks very much, Andrew. Okay, questions?
So I have a comment and a question. So comment is about the pruning versus the better techniques, and I'm not arguing that it's a previous plot, actually.
Sorry, this one?
Yeah. No, the one with double hump structure.
Oh, the trimming.
The trimming. But so practically, although of course I completely agree that it's better to understand the algorithm from first principles, but practically the second hump was never a problem for experimental analysis because anybody using this always uses the lower sideband simply because it has much more statistics.
Good. So I of course threw some things under the rug to make Jesse feel as bad as possible. I should have also said this is PT of 3 TeV, so that's why you've never seen this double hump. If you push this down to 300 GeV, then this double hump is, it's at scales that you can't measure. So.
And my question is about the gluon jets and tuning the Monte Carlo. Now, PILOP is an excellent source of gluon jets in general. Of course, it doesn't go to very high PT,
that's
but
right.
Has anyone tried to tune to the PILOP interactions?
That I can't answer, but that's an excellent point. As Christian said, there's these transverse measurements where you can study underlying event, and that's kind of along those lines. But that's a good question. I don't know.
Can you please say something more about how exactly do you match your technique basically to fixed order calculations? So what do you determine? Is it a constant? Is it also a power suppressed terms? what do you get, and if there is a comparison with and without including them, what is the effect of that?
Oh, to matching? Okay, so this is, we did very naive matching just because this was the first calculation just as a proof of principle. But our matching was just additive matching. So we have our next to next to leading log resummed result, which is taking this formula. This coefficient for next to next to leading log resummation needs to be calculated at NLO, which we just get from MCFM. We need the two loop results for the collinear soft function and the jet function, and we exponentiate anomalous dimensions. So that gives us that. And then the relative order alpha s squared piece is from just the full result from MCFM from PP to Z plus 2 jets at NLO. As long as the mass is non-zero of the jet, this is sufficient until very deep in the infrared when the virtual terms are necessary, but we made sure that those were small. And then we subtract the overlap, which is just to expand our next to next to leading log resummed result to relative order alpha s squared. So our next to next to leading log result is pure leading power in the jet mass. The relative order alpha s squared includes everything to alpha s squared, terms that are suppressed by z cut, terms that are suppressed by the mass of the jet, and then this is just subtracting those singular terms from here.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess I can, I have some time. I'll give you a little more detail. So so because the, just on the resum side, because in this extreme phase-based limit, radiation in the jet is collinear, we can use results from E plus E minus collisions. So we can explicitly define a factorization theorem where all scales in an E plus E minus collision event, where we've measured the groomed jet masses on the two hemispheres, are completely factorized. And then we can basically, well, not basically, we can use results from the literature to calculate every one of these pieces to two-loop accuracy. So the hard function, which just describes the production of QQ bar in the final state, is known beyond two loops, but it's known, it's been on at two loops for 30 years. Jet function for both quarks and gluons, and Matthias was involved in the gluon calculation about 10 years ago, is known. This global soft function, which describes all radiation that was removed by this groomer, is related to the soft function with energy veto, which was calculated recently. And then this collinear soft function is new, but for this cross-section to be independent of the renormalization scale that defines each of these functions, there's a constraint on the anomalous dimensions. So really, we could recycle everything from E plus E minus collisions, and then getting this result just required collinear universality.
Okay, Matt was the next. Can you go back to slide 17? Sorry, so I'm probably just missing something here, but again, what was the difference between the right and left?
Oh, the difference between the right and left is...
Oh, it's the nature of the soft drop.
So the soft drop groomer has beta. This angular exponent beta,
yeah.
And I went from beta equals 0 to beta equals 1. So beta equals 0 is just a relative energy cut on particles, and beta equals 1 includes some angular information in the grooming.
So going back, now that I understand that basic point, I'm puzzled by puzzled by the obvious thing. The PT cut here is 500 GeV, so the Pythia with hadronization is changing at jet masses of 10, 15 GeV. Is that what that says?
So this is MJ squared over PT squared. So 10 to the minus 4.
10 to the minus 4 would be 5 GeV. So this is above that. It seems like a very strange.
Yeah. Why is that strange? I mean, you can have a relatively soft emission in the jet,
mm-hmm.
But it's as long as it's collinear enough, it will pass. If it's relatively soft, it can have, I mean, if its energy is 1 GeV, or if the virtuality of the two particles that are collinear is of order 1 GeV, then it can contribute. But I guess I'm confused. I mean. So the scale.
Yeah, maybe I'm the one who's confused here. So why don't we take it offline so I could draw the picture.
One more sentence. The scale of the mass doesn't have to be 1 GeV. Just the scale of the emission that sets the mass has to be 1 GeV.
I mean, it's a well-known thing that.
This is heterogenization. Yeah. This is
heterogeneity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is both heterogenization and underlying event, but you can turn off underlying event and the curve is identical. I just didn't show that, yeah.
So down to what scale did you have to push the fixed order? So do you have a plot of the difference of fixed order minus expanded?
Oh, in
and NLL, yeah. Like down to what scale, yeah, do you actually need MCM, so, and at what point does it,
yeah,
come around?
So we did that comparison with event 2 for the E plus C minus results because event 2 can sample the infrared region of the phase space incredibly efficiently. For MCFM, it's very, very hard, and so we were just not able to populate this region of phase space. We just couldn't. And so the MCFM results are, you know, kind of this region, and we verified that they were basically on top of one of our resummed prediction MCFM. So. But the check on alpha S squared resummation was event 2.
So I think one plot would be interesting is just pure MCFM, because for what we've seen in, so for modified mass, well, so beta equals 0, actually the fixed order gets most of the, so some of the terms of the resummation will cancel.
That's right.
The question is, like, do you have powers of z-cut in the resummation? And if not, how do you cancel the logs? Do you see the effect in, like, some of the logs will...
We see, I mean, so Simone is saying that we have two infrared scales, the mass of the jet and z-cut, and only one of them we're actually taking to be dynamical. Only one of them can be anything. And so you could, in principle, have z-cut log of mass. But we find that those are incredibly small. Much, much smaller than naively z-cut. And we don't have a good understanding of that. This is just from fixed order.
Yeah, can you comment a little bit more about the numerical issues you found with MCFM? So you're looking, these are mostly issues when you have two very small mass partons together as kind of the leading order that you're interested in, and then you're looking at corrections to that.
I mean, it's not necessarily a numerical issue. It's just that it's very, very hard to efficiently sample the infrared region of phase space when there is a jet in the final state. I think that's a generically true statement. And so MCFM at this relative order alpha S squared, Z plus two jets at NLO, was very efficient to fill the mass distribution up here, but to fill smaller masses, which were in the resummation regime, it was incredibly hard. It took, you know, CPU centuries. I mean.
Yeah, I was about this non-perturbative effect, I was going to say that, I mean, we've known for a long time that jet mass gets a power correction which goes like 1 over pt instead of 1 over pt squared. So
good. So for the groom jet mass, the power correction actually goes like 1 over pt squared and not like 1 over pt, like the bare jet mass.
I understand that big bump even less, I mean, in that case.
So a way to kind of dynamically simulate heterogenization corrections for additive observables like the jet mass is to include a shape function. And the shape function is some non-perturbative matrix element which convolves with the perturbative calculation. And if you just naively put in a shape function and convolve it with our perturbative prediction, you find something that's very similar to that blue curve. The 1 over pt squared power corrections are, you know, exist at high masses.
I maybe ask another question then. I mean, about your quark gluon jet discrimination, you said you had a way of doing it rigorously, and therefore one could tune or compare Monte Carlos. I think you've actually done some of that, haven't you?
Yeah. So in our paper, we used four different Monte Carlos. So I think anyone would agree that the hardest thing for Monte Carlos to model, as Dave was discussing this morning, is soft wide angle radiation. And if you groom that away, then you only have collinear radiation. And basically, if you have the collinear splitting functions, which Herwig, Pythia, Vinci, I mean, any Monte Carlo has to have, then the Monte Carlos agree much, much better. So that's a virtue of also looking at these observables. The Monte Carlo, you remove things that the Monte Carlos are having, some Monte Carlos are having a harder time to describe, and they agree with each other much better.
Okay. So after that, there's not much difference between the Monte Carlos, you say?
Well, for this particular observable, I mean, for something that's more differential, I can't say. But for mass, they're quite close, yeah. I don't have the plots immediately, but yeah.
Well, maybe we should discuss later, but I just cannot help but ask that. Now, from MCFM, you don't get just the jet structure, right? You calculate some process which contains jets, in fact, more than one, right? So how do we extract a jet structure out of this calculation? So this has to be somehow a process-independent structure. How do you...
So how did I do it mechanically in MCFM?
It cannot be mechanical, right? Because you have to know what you're subtracting.
No. So we PP to Z plus... Well, okay. So what we did was, let's just take PP to Z plus jet at NLO. So there are at most two partons in the final state. We just said, cluster that with anti-KT of a radius 0.8, I guess we did, and then ask if what the hardest jet is, and count how many constituents are in that jet. If there's one, then the mass is zero. If there are two, then you calculate, then you attempt to groom it with the soft drop, and then you calculate the mass if it's non-zero. And then you throw it in a bin. I mean, we had to hack MCFM a little bit to get individual particle information, but this was straightforward.
So then your problem was that Z cut is quite small, so.
So yeah, if you're looking at masses well below that, then you're in the extreme collinear soft regions. Yeah.
Okay, I think with that we've come to coffee time, but let's thank Andrew again. Be back at 4:00.